Acts chapter 9, as we are going to take a little segue from our study here and taking a look at Saul, his conversion and call that the Lord had placed upon him. We took a look here in Acts firsthand about his conversion and call of the Lord to the work that the Lord had for him. And last time when we were looking at this, we ended up at verse number 31, Acts chapter 9, verse number 31, and we want to just take and extract a few words out of this verse and consider what this thing is. Barnabas has taken Saul to the apostles there in Jerusalem. He's explained there in verse 27 how he had seen the Lord in the way, how the Lord had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus and was had the witness of the salvation of the Lord was manifested greatly there, how this one that once persecuted this way is now preaching this way. And so Barnabas, the son of consolation, as he was called by the apostles, he helped Saul out in that regard. Verse 29, and he spake, that is Saul, boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea. Saul goes to Caesarea over there by the coast and sent him forth to Tarsus, back up north. Verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. So there's been this expanding. There's been this the work that the Lord had promised, the commission he had given to his church has been, it's happened. It's been manifested. It's seen. There are churches spread abroad. They're going to go farther. The Lord is going to use Saul, who will become and be called Paul soon, to do so. But these churches had rest in these regions, Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified. They're being built up by the Word. And listen, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and walking, if you will, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. The Lord is adding to those churches. They're multiplying spiritually, they're multiplying doctrinally, they're multiplying physically by members being added. And it says here, they are walking. They're walking in what? In the fear of the Lord. And if we just, if the scripture just said the fear of the Lord, we might see that it's not that it's not a serious thing, but it also says they're walking in the fear of the Lord and also walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Walking together, walking with the Lord as they serve the Lord in the place where the Lord has put them, each church, each of those peoples, that folks that he has added to those churches, they're there walking in the fear of the Lord. And that's what I want to look at tonight. This fear of the Lord. You know, and when we take a look at this thing about the fear of the Lord, we live in a day that there isn't much fear of the Lord that's manifested in folks. Just society in general, there's a lack of reverence about God and who He is, His greatness, how much higher He is than mankind that He's created. We forget that we have been created as a people, and we can have a tendency to take on an attitude in a way that we are self-sufficient. I think in one sense, we've been blessed with much technology, and I'm glad for the medical technology, especially that the Lord's blessed us with. But that technology, I believe, takes us and it makes us, as a people, think that we're in control and that we can do things, that we are greater than God in many ways. It's an attitude that prevails. There's not a need for the Lord, is there? In general, in the world today amongst people, we're self-sufficient. We provide for ourselves, we work, we do, we go, we buy, we sell, and we take care of it. We get it accomplished. Again, talking about people. There's no fear of the Lord. And we take a look at this word fear. The Greek word for it here in this case is phobos. It's a root word of phobia. And when we talk about phobia, at least in our culture, in the English language, that's really a negative thing to have a phobia, isn't it? Some people have a phobia about water. Some people have a phobia about being in a small, closed-in space. People have phobias about heights, getting on airplanes, going down in mines. There's all kinds of different phobias that people have. But phobos is this word fear here, and the definition of it is alarm or fright, terror. And like I mentioned to you earlier when we started the message and first took a look at this verse, if it said there that they were walking in the fear of the Lord without that comfort of the Holy Ghost, we might see that even as a negative thing. But it's not, is it? There's a reverence there that they have for the Lord. Yes, they fear the Lord as their Heavenly Father, because if they get out of line, He will come get them. If they are not obedient to that which the Lord has given them to do, He will come and work with them. He will touch them. He will deal with them and will deal with us. How? As children. Right? As children. Why? Because He loves us. Because we do, as being saved and the Lord has given the Lord Jesus Christ for us, the Father, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ has given Himself of Himself completely for us. He saved us, adopted us, and we are His as sons, aren't we? We're His sons. We've been adopted by salvation into His family. And so we do have a Heavenly Father that loves us, cares for us, and looks out for us. And this fear of the Lord, I believe, is tempered or balanced there with that comfort of the Holy Ghost. That work of the Comforter that the Lord did promise to His church, the Holy Spirit moving in them and working in situations about them, touching people, saving people, giving the Word power that they're preaching, and the Lord is blessing in the work. We've seen through this whole passage how the work of the Lord is there, and then opposition shows up. And that's the way that it is. It's always the way that it is. It's always the way that it's going to be. If there's work of the Lord that's being done, there will be opposition there. But they're in a time of blessing here. If you remember over in chapter 4 when we took a look at Barnabas last time, it said that the church at that time, when it referenced about Barnabas, the church there in Jerusalem was of one heart and one soul. And that's what every church of the Lord should desire. Amen. We need to be of one heart and one soul. We need to be lined up with the Lord and His desire for us and how we can go and walk and serve Him. Let's take a look here about this word phobos, this word fear. Turn over here to Hebrews 12 real quick. Here's a reference using the same word. And we take a look at Scripture to help us to understand the meaning of words, the use of words, and let Scripture interpret Scripture. Here's a reference in the New Testament about this same word. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18, he's talking here to Jews, the apostle is, and he's going to tell them about how great and how blessed the service of the Lord is now. And remember how it was back in the days where the Lord appeared unto Israel and gave the law and those things that happened there at Horeb, Sinai. In verse number 18 of Hebrews 12, "For ye are not come into the mount that might be touched and burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more." The children of Israel said, "We can't handle hearing God straight out. Moses, you go talk to Him, and whatever He says, we'll do." Because the Lord was going to deal with them straight on. Verse 20, "For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight of the mountain on a smoke, and God coming down on the mountain, and that fire upon the mountain there. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceeding fear and quake." The fear of the Lord. Was Moses secure in the Lord? Sure he was. Did he know he was secure in the Lord? Yes. He'd been saved by the Lord, called by the Lord to that work that the Lord had for him to do, and the Lord told him what He was going to use him to do. And as long as Moses was obedient, where would Moses end up? He'd end up at the end of that ministry that the Lord called him to do. Amen? It was there. But yet, when he saw the glory and power, the magnificence, the terribleness, of you, if you will, of the Lord coming down on the mount, he said, that makes me afraid. Even though I know this one and this God Almighty that has touched me, even though I know him and he has visited me and called me to this ministry, when he exhibits his power, he makes me fear. He makes me fear. And he said so much so that he trembled and he quaked, as the original reference to that is. Look over here in Romans chapter 3. Look at the account of men. Same word. The account of men and several passages that are put together here by the apostle. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, the scripture says, and we're familiar with this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, as it says in Psalms. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. If you're here without Jesus, that's your case. You don't have the Lord as your Savior. You have not repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ. The Lord has not saved your soul. This is the shape you're in. You are not a little ways from God. You are a long ways from God, no matter what else you might claim. Verse 12, they are going out of the way, they're together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So much so that their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. This is what the Lord saved us from. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. That's the goal. That's the daily, hourly goal, is destruction and misery. Verse 17, the way of peace have they not known. What's it say in verse 18? There is no phobos of God before their eyes. No fear of God. No fear of God and who He is. No fear of God and what God says in His Word. No fear of God and His commands. There's no fear. No fear. Remember how that saying went about and not too many days ago? You'd see the kids wearing the T-shirts. You'd see the visors on vehicles that said, no fear. No fear. Yeah, we need to have a fear. Amen. We need to have a fear of the Lord and who He is. When Felix was preached to by the Apostle Paul, the preaching of the Apostle Paul about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come made Felix shake. It made him tremble. He said, another day, I'll call for you and hear what you have to say. No fear. No fear of folks, of mankind, men, women, boys, and girls before the Lord. Take a look over here in Psalms. Psalms 119. Let's take a look over here real quick. Moses feared. What about the psalmist? Did he fear? Indeed he did. In Psalms number 119, verse 20, take a look here what the psalmist has to say. Psalms 119, verse 120. Let's back up to verse 113. Psalms 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. Psalms 119, verse 114. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies, the psalmist says. Lord, Lord God Almighty, I love what you say, and I love what you command. And because of your word, I see that you're going to take the wicked that are against you and away from you, and as one that would refine metal and gathers up with that scoop, that dross on the top, he gathers it up. There's precious metal in the fining pot. But with an old, rugged, nasty-looking cup or dipper, the refiner goes around the top of the silver, goes around the top of the gold, gathers up the dross, and what? Pitches it on the floor. Pitches it in the waste can. Pitches it away. He said he learned that from the Lord's Word. Verse 119. Verse 118. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. Verse 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. Oh, you're great. And you have visited me, and I'm thankful for it. But oh, when I consider who you are and see you as you are, Lord, Lord God Almighty, it causes me to tremble. It causes me to fear. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It says here back in Acts that the churches there were walking in the fear of the Lord. And what is this fear of the Lord? How is it that we can understand about the fear of the Lord in a right way? That we can understand how it is that the Lord expects us to fear Him. How is it? Well, the Word of God has the answer, as it always does. Let's take a look at a handful of scriptures. Psalms 111. Psalms 111. And we'll just walk through here and take a look at a few of these and see what the Lord has for us. Psalms 111, verse number 10. Psalms 111, verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear God, fear God in a right way, understanding who He is, how great He is, the purpose, plan of His commandments and statutes, and that He means what He says, that's the beginning of wisdom. And when we take a look at wisdom, it's talking about being skillful. As I understand it, wisdom is taking knowledge, facts of things, the way things work and are. And wisdom is the ability to take those points of knowledge and use them. That's wisdom. To know which ones to use. And there's some other things that we're going to see here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Here it mentions about understanding. Seems like understanding talks about discretion. It talks about the when and the how much, the how long of that knowledge that we gain from the Lord, His knowledge, His wisdom to use that knowledge, and understanding and taking it and putting it all together the way the Lord would be pleased. There's leadership of the Lord and the Spirit in there with that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? You need to fear God. Need not discount what God says. Need not ignore what God says. But need to believe it. Cleave to it. Pursue after it. And seek His face in applying it. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is full of these kinds of admonitions. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We just saw it was the beginning of wisdom. It's also the beginning of knowledge. Fear in the Lord so that the feeding upon His Word is an important thing. How is it that we can gain the knowledge of the Lord? Other than the book, amen? This is where it's at. This is where it's contained. That's the reason the Lord has provided it for us. That's the reason He's preserved it down to our day. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. And a fool doesn't want to be instructed. A fool doesn't want to be taught, the Scripture says. But a fool wants to go their own way. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look at verse 24. Wisdom speaking here, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, wisdom says, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity when it comes. Wisdom says she will mock when fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, wisdom says, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Because of not fearing God and reverencing the Lord and seeing and submitting to His power, to His dominion, to His commandment, wisdom goes away. Knowledge and understanding flees. And when the sinner cries out and says, "Oh, if I'd have just listened," it'll be too late. When the instruction has been bucked against and the fool says, "No, I don't want to be taught anything." And then the desolation because of that lack of heeding that instruction and lack of the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, and that dilemma, that quandary, that desolation comes upon, the fool will say, "Oh, if I'd have just listened," it'll be too late. Wisdom says she's going to mock. Wisdom says she's going to laugh. Why? Because the sinner said, "I want it my way. I'll do it my way." Like Frank Sinatra sang, he did it his way. Chapter 2, verse number 5. Chapter 2, verse number 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom." Son, listen. Listen to Daddy. Listen to what Daddy has to say. Listen to what the Lord has to say. Don't turn your ears from it, but listen and hide it with you. Verse 2, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, to pursue after it, to want it, to desire it, to seek it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge." There's those three pieces. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding from the Lord. "And lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Hear what the Lord says. Chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8. We read over there in Romans and how it's quoting different passages in the Old Testament about the waywardness of man. How man wants his sin. How sinful men, women, boys, and girls want nothing more than their sin. That's what they want, naturally. That's what we desire. But here, in verse number 13 of Proverbs 8, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Who's speaking? Verse number 1. "Doth not wisdom cry?" Wisdom says, stay away from wickedness. Wisdom says, stay away from the evil way. Wickedness says, stay away from that perverse, froward mouth. Perversity of the mouth. Fraud, to take that which is true and change it into a lie. The Lord warns us and tells us that there's going to come a day in the end that good is going to be called evil and evil is going to be called good. And we live in that day, don't we? We do. We do. And it's a froward mouth that says those things. That froward mouth is talking about a mouth that will change the truth into a lie, will overturn it, will pervert it. The truth of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. We look over here in chapter 9. It says here in verse number 10, Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. How much knowledge of the holy do you and I have? How much knowledge of the holy do you and I possess within us? If we were given a piece of paper and we're bidden to write down about those things holy that we know about and that we possess and contain within us from what God's Word says, how much is it that we'll know? How is it from the Word of God? How many things are there that we have learned that the Lord has taught us from the Word of God that we can point to and say, that is the holiness and work of the Lord? And this thing, that thing, and the other. Isn't that what it says? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. If one's going to have understanding, there's got to be a knowledge of the holy. And where's holiness start? With God. The Lord bids His people, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. That's what He says. And we are to be so in every way. Look here in verse number 22 of chapter 8. Sometimes this chapter 8 in Proverbs, that there are some that take and say that wisdom was before God. No. God has always been. But the Lord, He has always, because He has ever been, He has always possessed wisdom. Look where in verse 22, wisdom speaking, the Lord possessed me, wisdom, in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. You got to remember that the Lord's speaking to people. All we know is beginning and end. We're so chained up to time here. So hard for us to understand or comprehend anything else. Well, way back there, when the Lord was, He's always been, wisdom was right there with Him. Do you want that kind of wisdom? If we want that kind of wisdom, we're going to need to have the fear of the Lord to pursue it. Chapter 10 here in Proverbs. Look what the fear of the Lord does. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. That's what the Lord says. Fear in the Lord, reverence in Him, putting, for we that are here, the New Testament saints, putting the Lord Jesus Christ first in everything. The fear of the Lord and what He says and who He is, and the greatness of those things that He speaks to us in His Word, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. But look at the counterpart, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Well, Brother Jim, we just read about Stephen that preached and got himself killed. And I think the indication is he's not an old man. He's a young man, maybe a middle-aged man as we would call it. But aren't his days prolonged? He's in glory with the Lord now, isn't he? Oh, but the wicked that reject Christ, the wicked that reject the way of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, the day's going to be cut short, aren't they? The blessing of life is going to be cut short. Because in hell and in the lake of fire, yes, they will be alive, but they will be alive to die eternally. No pleasure, no reprieve, but forever fire, brimstone, darkness, separation from God forever. A memory of this life that will be intact forever. Regret. Forever. And knowing that the power of God is that which keeps them there. That is, there is no escape. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Chapter 14 of Proverbs. In verse number 26 of chapter 14, the Scripture says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." Why? Because the Lord will take care of His children. The Lord will fight my battles. The Lord will take care of me. I can rest in Him. He saved me. He's made me His own. I'm His son because of what He's done for me. And in fear in Him, I can have confidence. Not myself, but in Him. He's faithful that promised. Oh, what a rest it is that the people of God have. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. No matter what it is that assails us, no matter what it is that comes upon us, we can hide and rest in the Lord, can't we? Because He knows, He understands, He knows the feeling of our infirmity. He is able to sustain us and help us and strengthen us. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. What about a lack of the fear of the Lord? There's going to be less or no confidence, is there? People get so out of the way about what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. And we're naturally cut that way. Oh, but if we would see the Lord in His glory and the way some of those prophets that saw the Lord revealed Himself unto them and how He so touched them for the work that He had called them to do, if we could just see the glory of the Lord, we wouldn't let the things of this life bother us so, would we? The fear of the Lord. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. A living fountain, a springing fountain of life. To say, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I am guilty. Yes, Lord, You are right. I am condemned and I deserve it. But I praise Your holy name that You gave Your Son for the likes of a sinner like me. And You've made a promise. And I believe that He died for me. I believe that You are the giver of life, the giver of salvation. I trust in You for what You've promised. Not what I can do, but for what You've promised. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Everlasting life. Yes, to die once. Oh, but not to die twice. Amen? Amen. Born in the body, born in the Spirit, just waiting for this body to pass or the Lord to come in the clouds to be with Him and live forever with Him. Oh, the glory of the resurrection. And the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Chapter 15, verse number 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's all going to burn up one day, isn't it? We should get well tend to and use the provision as good stewards that the Lord's given us. But hang on to it with a loose grip, amen? Because it's going away one day. It's burning up one day. We're going to leave it behind one day. But in the meantime, may the Lord help us to see that we need to use His provision that He's given us in His service, right? For the furtherance of His kingdom, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. What's Solomon say about great treasure? That just out of nowhere, people pop up that eat it, that use it, that need it. With great treasure, there's a maintenance of it, a keeping track of it, an accounting of it that's got to be done. And it's just so that with great treasure, there's just that demands the use of it more. It will not stay. Verse number 33 of chapter 15. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. In those earlier chapters in Proverbs, we heard wisdom speaking. And one that fears the Lord will listen. We'll listen not just to hear it with the ear and the mind, but we'll listen to take it and apply it. Do you have a desire to take what God says in His Word and put it to use? Are you pressing for higher ground? Or are you comfortable at some plateau? Well, this is enough righteousness for me. This is enough obedience for me. This is good enough for me. Are we in ever more search to find out how we can better obey the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. In chapter 16, verse number 6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. The fear of the Lord, a right understanding of God, seeing the Lord for who He is, it will make us turn from sin. You know, behavior in front of one another, we should well do. Our conversation and what we say, do, and think should be always representative of Christ. It's called our witness when we have our conversation before other people. But how are we when we're by ourselves? Well, understand, we're not really by ourselves. The Lord's watching. The one with the greatest importance, where we might behave ourselves well around some diplomat, some famous person, some person in the government or whatever, we might behave ourselves well in front of them, but who is there that's more important, and who is there that's greater, and who is there that's taken a greater account than the Lord? Amen? Amen. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It says in Matthew that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. May the Lord help us that we fear Him and depart from evil, that we not be guilty of waxing cold in this evil day. Chapter 19. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord. Having the Lord. The Lord being our reward. Because that's what He says the real reward is Him. His fellowship. His touch. His kinship. And that we've been made joint heirs with Christ. He is our heavenly Father, and the Son was given for us. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Chapter 22. By humility and the fear of the Lord, verse 4. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You want to be wealthy? Give it up. You want to serve the Lord? You want to follow Him? It may be He just might make you rich in the ways of this world. But it may be He just might give you enough. Or it might be that He might just give you little enough to get by. But the thing is, with the soul saved, and for the blessing that we have of being put in His church, what greater wealth is there than that? Amen? Because that's going to last. That is going to endure. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Chapter 23. Let not thine heart, verse 17, Proverbs 23, verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't be covetous about what sinners have or what sinners do or the sin that they pursue. Don't envy them. Don't envy the wicked. Brother Asaph there in Psalm 73, he envied the wicked, didn't he? Oh, it doesn't matter what they do, it always succeeds. Their eyes are bulging out with their fatness, and their kids just go on and on and on. They've just got bounty and blessing and everything. Brother Asaph said, it made him depressed. He said, when I looked on at it, it was hard for me to think about it. So I went to the house of the Lord. And the Lord showed me their end. When the Lord showed me their end, as they live and pursue and do without Him, it'll end up, a life lived without God will end up to be an eternity without God. A life lived without the Lord will end up being an eternity without the Lord. Isn't that the way sinners are? They want things their way in this life, and then at the end, I want all the blessings of God for eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ said, who's not willing to lose their life for His sake is not worthy of Him. And that's what salvation will bring to us. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord. In the morning's good enough. In the afternoon. No, it says all the day long, doesn't it? All the day long. Isaiah chapter 11. Here we see a prophecy. Here we see a prophecy. Would you dare say that the Lord Jesus Christ is our example? Would you agree to that, brethren? The Lord Jesus Christ is our example, isn't He? He's the pattern. He's that which we should follow. We should be like Christ. In Antioch, they were so much like Christ that they called them Christians, right? Yeah. Others said, those people behave like that Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be the Christ. They're Christians. Not something they claimed for themselves, but something that because of their conversation, it was noted about them by others. And here we see a prophecy about our Savior. In Isaiah 11, verse number 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, one of the names of the Lord, shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. John the Baptist said, he's got all the Spirit of God there is. We get the Spirit by measure. It tells us that, I believe, in Corinthians. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got all the Spirit of God there is. Why? Because he is God. And John testified that it was so. The Spirit and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Jesus Christ, as He walked on this earth, as He was born and grew up as a young child into a young boy, into a boy, to a young man, to a man. He had the fear of the Lord. He exercised the fear of the Lord. So many times He says, I'm not here to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. I'm not here to speak my words, but the words that the Father has given me. He feared the Lord. Was he a sinner? No way. Not one bit. But did he have the spirit of the fear of the Lord? Amen, he did. How about you and me? How about you and I? Do we fear the Lord the way the Lord Jesus Christ does? In Isaiah chapter 33, Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 1. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and dealt not treacherously with thee, and they not dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee, he speaks to Israel. O Lord, be gracious unto us, Isaiah says, for we have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Honoring God and knowing God and seeking God's way and hearing His Word and believing Him and keeping His commandments and obeying Him and desiring Him and putting Him first, the Scripture says will bring stability. Stability. We live in a world of instability, don't we? We live in a world where souls are unstable, aren't they? Nervous, fretting, no peace, an upheaval, all this reality programming that exists. It's sick to want the whole world to know about things going on in your day-to-day life. This is when I brush my teeth. This is when I comb my hair. This is when I do this. This is when I do that. It's because of emptiness, isn't it? It's because of emptiness. There's no stability. There's no soundness. And wisdom and knowledge, verse 6, shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. It's a treasure from God to be blessed with the fear of the Lord. It's a treasure from the Lord God Almighty, our Creator, to be blessed to have the fear of the Lord. To really see God as He is. But He's not just an old man sitting up there on a chair trying to bless people. But He's a great God Almighty that does amongst the inhabitants of men as He wills. And He was pleased to save a wretch and a worm like me. The fear of the Lord. Oh, what a treasure it is. Back in Acts. I trust that from the looking into God's Word and the reading of these Scriptures and seeing what the Lord has to say about the fear of Him, that it might help us when we read this passage in time to come, we have a better understanding about it. Amen? In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were built up, edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. I want to be multiplied that way, don't you? Don't you want Olmsted Baptist Church to be multiplied that way? Amen. The fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Oh, may the Lord help us in it. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to see your condition, that you are guilty before God. You sinned against none other but Him. You sinned against God and you're accountable before God. You've got a debt you can't pay. You can't even begin to pay it. You need help. You need to be rescued. Repent. Admit it before God that you are guilty. That you are that chief sinner that needs to be saved. No other sinner matters, does it? When it comes down to our particular soul. What other sinner matters? When it gets down to the condition of our soul. See, our soul, our own soul, who we are, our soul, that's the one that we've got to give an account for. And if you're here without Christ, you can't give a good account. You have nothing to say. All the evidence is stacked up against you. If you appear before that great white throne judgment seat of God, there's no hope. Oh, but with Jesus Christ. The apostles asked, said about something the Lord said, who then can be saved? What did he say? With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for you. Did He do it for you? Can you hear Him? Do you hear Him? Can you believe?